Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Ray's in shape. His wife is like always in shape and an athlete. They're both great athletes.
Hey, he served those little brisket, those little one-timers that Frank Cervelli teed off on.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he's had a full day of, you know, under 50 steps.
No.
What's up, Ray?
No way I could go under 50 steps. I'd lose my mind.
Well, and you've got kids, too. Like you're.
Yeah, which that's a no-starter, right?
And you got to clean up Buster's crap.
That's gotten away from me.
You got a dog?
He's got a dog named Buster.
My son does. But somehow I end up with it half the time.
Oh, no.
Well, it's just, but here's the context, though, here, Ray, is my girls, I got a child, too. I wouldn't be able to do this if they were around. My girls are going to Florida on Friday, so I got no one in the house on Sunday for Championship Sunday. Leafs play that night. You know, I've got big plans of no plans. I got nothing, and I'm not going to do anything. And I was hoping that I could break a record for the least amount of steps.
I did see some of the tweets come in there. There's some people that have been, like, are they breathing?
Honestly, like, it's almost a shock that, like, paramedics didn't come flying through their door. You know, like the iWatch just sends out a note like, hey, this guy hasn't moved in a long time.
Yeah. But someone's got to get there. Antsy sitting there?
Well,
I do.
I don't.
Noodles, there's no chance you could do that.
No, I'm a busybody. Like I can't.
I got to get up. I'm a lot of times, you guys know, like I'm doing other stuff when I'm talking to you guys. I'm not now, but like I got to sweep the floor while I'm talking. If I'm watching football or hockey, I'm cleaning up or I don't know. I just can't sit there.
Are you like a clean freak? Like, what do you mean sweeping things up? Like, are you?
Oh yeah, I'm. I got an A-type personality.
Yeah, like
I'm L-type.
I think Ray and I are alike because I saw this on Twitter. When Ray leaves his hotel room on the road, he actually cleans up a little bit, makes it look presentable.
Well,
I do that too.
Let me ask you this. This is where I draw the line. When you check out of, do you make the bed? That's ridiculous.
I put the comforter.
I pull it up and I put the pillows up in a pillow. Yeah,
I put the comforter like over top of where I slept.
All I do is I grab all my change in my jacket. Kevin Dineen taught me this, Ray. Well, he didn't teach it to me. He just said, anytime you got extra loonies, toonies in Canada, fire it on the pillow for the maid. So that's all
nice, but I would be terrified to walk into your room after like two or three days. Like,
well, it's gonna smell for one.
Well, I'm not worried about the smells. I feel like you're a guy who like comes in and immediately is buck naked in his room, walking around.
I love it. I love to gear down and take my suit off and just be naked.
Not a problem.
When I leave, I take all the towels that I've used, whatever it is. I roll them, like I put them around, inside the biggest towel, and I put them on the closed toilet so the maid doesn't have to bend down to pick them up. She's got 100 rooms to do. She doesn't need to do that. I don't know. I clean up the pillows so she doesn't have to chase them around. And
That's very
good. Yeah,
I'm the same way. Like I feel like you have to leave it presentable. Like if they walk in and be like, that guy was staying here, he's just a pig.
Well, I give you guys credit. I mean,
play
with
guys that have their room extra cleaned and, like, germified before they get in the room. Vacuumed floors, everything. They can't handle it. They're weirdos.
Well,
I get in. The first thing I do is put the Do Not Disturb on the door. I don't want anybody in my room.
I'm with you.
There's no maids. There's no anybody. Noodles, could you imagine if we wanted a trip and one of us had to take one of the two guys to your right as a roommate? Each of us, we'd both lose our minds.
Yeah, I think it would be.
We should try that sometime.
It would be rough.
That would be very
fun. We would be wrestling to see who would, like, who are we rating as a would be a better roommate for just this discussion? Who's a bigger slob, or Hayes?
It's probably me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'd be more.
I think Hayes can go deep here.
I'd bother you guys. I'd start chirping about things, and I'd give takes. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night with a hot take.
You know? I think Marner should be on here on the power play.
Like, he deserves $12 million. Yeah, that's kind of what would happen, I think. But you were the only one that was in the building last night. Can you give us a rough idea on the booing of Gardner? Where no one knows exactly, you know, was it 5% of the crowd, 10%? What was your read?
Oh, I would say early on it was about 12 people.
Really?
You know, just and it kind of surprised me. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. And then it got a little more the next time he touched it because the puck, of course, kept coming back to him. Right? Like, it's not like the puck could have just stayed on the other side of the ice. It kept coming back to him. And so each time there'd be a little bit more. And at some point, Gord said, because I mentioned, you know, that, oh, they're booing every time Gardner's touching the puck right now. And Gord says, I don't really think this is going to help him very much. And, you know, I don't know why. It just came to me. I go, I don't think anybody really thinks this through. No. You're watching the game. You paid a lot of money. The guy's had two bad nights in a row. And it got progressively louder through the third period. Now, had the Leafs mounted some sort of comeback, you know, even after Marner scored, I mean, they were a mess last night. Like, there was nothing that could turn anybody's mood last night. Like, that's what I thought. As it moved along through the period, it was getting louder and louder, and there was nothing he was going to be able to do last night to make that better.
No, I mean, he's into his eighth season here, and there has been a lot of ups and downs with Jake Gardner, and there's you know, he's a polarizing player. He's really the last standing member of that polarizing four or five group from 4 or 5 years ago, you know, with Phaneuf and Kessel and Gardner and Bozak, where everyone was split. Some people saw them for the good things they do. Some of them saw them only for the bad things they do on the ice. And Jake Gardner, by no means, is a well-rounded, perfect player. But I do think Game 7 last year is always in the back of the minds of some fans, and it's almost as if they were waiting for a moment where they could pinpoint an effort play. You know, as opposed to a mistake. Everyone makes mistakes. You turn the puck over, you blow a wheel. He got that was a 70-30 battle in his favor, and he got danced. You know, he didn't put in an effort.
It was almost like the significant other that was just had something in their back pocket where you came home late one night and they're like, okay, I'll let it slide.
That's
next
exactly
time you
what
do
it was last night.
And it exploded.
I'm going nuts, and you're going to hear about it. That's what it felt like.
Well, when the one thing you know, about Gardner, I would say, is that he does everything so easy that when it doesn't go well, it looks really bad. And so, you know, he made the mistake against Boston that cost a goal against. And then, you know, everybody in the, you know, us and written in the articles and, you know, everybody else that's talking about it is talking about the mistake of Gardner and Zaitsev. Like, somehow Zaitsev, you know, flies under the radar. Like, that's his partner, right? Like, there's no real help there. Like, right. Zaitsev's just there. He's got three assists more than us guys this year, which I don't understand how that's even possible. But Gardner becomes the guy, when he makes a mistake, you really notice it.
Yeah.
Like, it stands out. And last night's mistake was one of four in a row, four goals in a row that the Leafs were completely outworked on. If you think about it, the second goal was Soderberg coming back, lifting Kadri's stick, turning around and scoring. That was the second goal. The third goal was, it was Rantanen. Rantanen's goal. The third one was Soderberg outworking Gardner, shorthanded. The fourth one was the play behind the net where Dermott got beat by Eric Johnson out at the top of the slot, and then Zaitsev slid through the play, dropped his glove, stopped to pick it up, and while he was picking it up, the puck went out the other side. They got completely outworked behind the goal line, Dermott and Zaitsev, and Soderberg scored again. And then the fifth goal was Matt Calvert just pushed Matthews off the puck, outworked him to a loose puck, and scored into the empty net. I know it was a lucky shot, but he outworked him on the empty or on the puck.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was evident.
Everybody knows Gardner's, because that is a Gardner mistake. Like, it stands out like hitting your thumb with a hammer.
Just some weird things, Ray. I remember we talked a couple years ago. There's been multiple plays where the pucks have been in the air, and he tries to swat it out of the air. It's just
weird.
Yeah,
that one seems to have left the repertoire, but you're right.
Yeah,
remember,
it's just
he was
weird.
Doing
it's
that
like you don't see
bit.
That. Yeah, yeah, you don't see that very often.
And so now the real interesting point will be in their next home game. You know, is he timid? Is he more aggressive? Does he play the same way? Do the fans, you know, treat him as another player, or does he does this start a little back and forth of good and bad with Gardner and the fan base? And you know, I don't ever really have a feel because let's say it's only 1,000 people. 1,000 people can make a lot of noise.
Well, if they're season ticket holders and they're there every single night, right, they absolutely can.
You know, so it's I don't think there's any debate. Like, I saw a couple people today saying, you know, like he's a, you know, he's a very good player. He's going to be well sought after and well compensated on July 1st. None of that is debatable, or does it matter? What matters is right now his play for a team that's hit a general malaise in their game, like just a sag in their game. His play is kind of exemplifying that. And so he's the guy that's on the hot seat. And you can't go around individually to each of the fans that are booing and say, hey, could you not do that? So what you can do is play better.
Yeah.
And that's really about it, right?
And we were talking in last hour, and in the one thing that we have to know, like, Jake Gardner is what he is. And I think that's what people have come to the conclusion, whether you like him or not. I mean, he's a 50-point defenseman on a good team. And I think you pointed out, like, Zaitsev is a guy who could help him out if he had a stable partner. So maybe it comes back to, you know, a scenario where you do need an upgrade to help stabilize that situation. Because regardless of what you think of Ron Hainsey, Hainsey helped stabilize Morgan Riley. Now, Jake Gardner doesn't have that stabilizing force, and now all of a sudden the two of them are feeding off each other, and it's not looking good right now, and you can clearly see the frustration in the fan base.
And now, like, you get into the third period, and for the first time in a while, you know, they split the defense pairs up, they move some people around up front. Like, there's a kick in the pants needed here, whether it's just enough that they can do it internally, or if they're going to have to maybe make a move, you know, early on the trade deadline or not. Now, I'm not saying that they've got a, oh, what a disaster it all is, and they got to blow everything up, but they're in a hole right now, and I don't see what Mike Babcock sees with Zaitsev. Like, I don't see it. I don't see, you know, he talks about how steady he is, and his quote a couple of days ago was, nobody stops a cycle better on our team than Zaitsev. Like, I don't see it. I see Travis Dermott getting better month by month. And I think there's a time when he's just going to bully his way into that top four, whether it's now or later in the year, or maybe it is into next year. I don't know. But it's not right now. And you got a coach that's got to try and figure it out. You know, their power play looks off. And now that they've split it up, it all looked out of sync last night. And, you know, it's one win in six home games now.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost 5 of 7 in regulation. Yeah.
Because don't forget, Montreal's now barking away 3 points behind, right? Like, and they've played their way back to Montreal.
That's exactly how it's Montreal hasn't won 10 in a row. Montreal just keeps doing Montreal things.
Yeah, they're a solid team.
But the Leafs have lost their way back into the pack, where now the race for home ice is back on, and it didn't feel like it was there a month ago necessarily, but it's back on, and it's a reality, and Boston's healthy, and they're playing well, and Montreal's, like you said, they're going to keep chugging along. And, you know, you mentioned Babcock. You were talking about him during the telecast last night. What were you picking up on kind of his mood behind the bench in the third?
It was always about, last night, it was always about work. We're getting out work. Let's get to work here. Let's get to work. Let's get on the puck. There's a loose battle we lost. Like, it was very consistent what was bugging him last night. And it was, even Matthews, who rarely says anything on the bench, at one point came back to the bench and he's like, let's get going in here. Like, meaning in the bench. Like, even when he yelled, to me, that made a bit of a statement to me, because that's not a very loud bench to start with, and he's not certainly a guy standing up and yelling at the D or anything like that. He, you know, that's just not his way. So I took it from, you know, from the coach down, they were well aware what the problem was last night.
Well, you know, you mentioned Matthews, and he's one of a number of guys who probably, in a weird way, should be thanking Jake Gardner that Gardner has taken up all of the focus. You know, Gardner's become the guy that people are looking at, the Bartman type, the Buckner type, Alshon Jeffrey type, where it's like, well, it was his fault, and we're going to look at him and discuss him and not get to other details of other players' games. You know, and you mentioned it, like, Matt Calvert is half the size of Austin Matthews. That's a critical moment. You've pulled your goalie. You've got an extra man on the ice. It's a big draw. You won the draw. And he lost a battle, and the game's over. And Matthews, to me right now, just right. I can't put my finger on what it is. He looks like there are times where he's had really short shifts, Ray, where it's like if there's a cycle in his end, he's off.
You know what it almost looks like? Sometimes when guys come back from concussions, they have this, like, haze where they're just kind of... They're not themselves.
Right, they're not there yet, right?
No.
I don't know. And he's the engine, right? Like, he's the guy. When they're rocking, he's the one where you're like, look at this guy. And then you're like, wow, they got Marner and Tavares and Riley and Freddie, too. He's the lead dog. When they're playing at their best, he's playing at their best. There's a cohesion there.
And it's certainly not there. Now, I look at, so, you know, you've got Matthews, who's one goal in 10 games now. Kapanen's, or Nylander's got one goal in, what's it, 17, 16 now that he's played? Mm-hmm. Like, they're, you know, the lines are broken up. It none of it looks right. Like, has anybody noticed Patrick Marleau of late?
No.
This whole thing is going through the team. And I wonder if there's, you know, the one line that stayed constant is Tavares, Marner, and Hyman. But maybe you have to go back to, you know, maybe Nylander just needs to go with Matthews. I thought he was really good last night, Nylander, in particular in the first half of the game. Like, maybe you just got to get them together. Maybe that's what has to happen. Like, do you think at the start of the year, when Austin Matthews came back to camp, do you think on January the 10th he thought his line mates were going to be Andreas Johnsson and Kasperi Kapanen?
No.
No, there's no way. But you know what's interesting about that, Ray, is that...
And he's on the second power play unit.
Yeah.
That can't wait either.
There's been a belief, and to be fair to all parties involved, no one has said it from within. It's just an outside discussion and narrative that maybe Matthews wanted a fresh start without Hyman on his wing. Right. But maybe he needs Hyman on his wing. You know, maybe he needs a guy with jam that's going to go out there and be like, I'm dragging you in with me here until we get rocking.
I haven't heard any complaints from Tavares and Marner.
About playing with Zach Hyman.
Exactly, because he is. That's the one thing, like, everyone talks about loading up top lines, like Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen, which is an unreal line. But the Sidney Crosby functioned with Kunitz and Dupuis for many years because those guys were really hard on pucks. They knew where to go to the front of the net. Dupuis had a really good one-timer. Like, sometimes it's just the mix. And right now, that the Matthews mix doesn't look as clean as the other one.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, when there was discussion last year about Hyman, and or maybe it was even the year before, Hyman playing alongside of Matthews, right away Babcock brought up Thomas Holmstrom in Detroit. And Detroit had all these fabulously talented players, and Holmstrom played the same role that Hyman does. You never saw him carrying the puck. When there was a loose puck, he was in there all elbows and kneecaps flailing around, and then he'd come out with the puck, and then Datsyuk would get it again. And so Babcock brought up the point, those guys like to have the puck, and so you need somebody to get it for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now, like, I don't mind Johnsson in that role, but he's a different sort of tenacious player. Like, Hyman is, I don't know. I always played well with one grinder and one shooter on my line. So a guy like Hyman I would have liked playing with a winger like that. And maybe Matthews is, you know, is finding that the puck doesn't come to him as much. Nylander's not found it enough. Maybe you put them together, you call them in, and you say, okay, look, you guys have wanted to play together. Good. Now play together.
Yeah.
Make it work.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe it's maybe that's a one of the options, because as I said, and I don't want to kind of like overstate or, you know, be over dramatic, but something's not right. It really looked wrong last night. You had a Colorado team that was stumbling all over the place. They give up the first goal, they give up the second goal, it gets taken away, and the same shift, they give you another goal back. So they're down 2-0. This is a team that had won one of their previous 10 games. Do you think they were feeling much confidence sitting on their bench? The game was there. All Toronto had to do was generate something. Hell, they had 13 shots after two periods. That's not the Leaf team that should be playing. And yeah. So now it's up to Dubas and it's up to Babcock to figure it out. Does the lineup look the same in 3 weeks, or do you make a move? Do the lines look the same next game, or does Babcock roll them around a bit? It'll be interesting to see, because that was a pretty rotten game last night.
Well, I'll lucky, get the rotten out now.
Lucky yeah. for them, they got a layup Thursday night. 2 points layup yeah. in Tampa. Yeah. We'll start teeing that
but
up tomorrow
don't you think,
afternoon.
Hey, don't you think maybe that scares you into a little bit of business?
I think you hit the nail on the head in that telecast.
Last night too.
It's exactly
yeah.
who I'd want to play. Play in Tampa and get rocking Thursday night. So we'll start teeing that up.
The first thing you should do, we're going to tee that up, and then you should start checking out which Uber Eats will deliver, not to your home, but to your couch.
Right to my gullet.
Yeah, like, because you don't want to waste a step or three getting to the door.
No. I need an oxygen mask and Uber Eats that will come right to the couch.
And a set of Depends.
And Depends. All of this is doable, Ray. I'm going to set records.
Just take dumps in your shorts all day.
You're going to know a record holder as of Sunday afternoon. You should consider yourself lucky.
Well, this is something. This will be a moment we'll all never forget.
Yep. Well, that's right. It's like those Canadian Heritage commercials. Remember, like James Naismith, and that'll be me on the couch on Sunday.
Hayes is going to be on the nickel on the couch.
I can't wait for that day. All right, buddy. We'll do it tomorrow.
Later on, boys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.